Today I'm talking about passing from death to life. You know, more and more Christianity, it's taken a hit in this world. The name of Jesus Christ is being de-emphasized and ridiculed more and more. I was preparing my PowerPoints, and I wanted some special slides, which I didn't get. So I Googled resurrection. Nothing found. I Googled Jesus. Nothing found. I Googled Easter. Nothing found. I'm getting frustrated. The empty tomb. Nothing found. So I Googled Islam. Tons of screens that I could choose from. I said, okay, Lord, you know, because one thing I will say, Jesus said something. You're either for me or against me. And today we're celebrating that God opened the door for us. And I'm going to be speaking from 1 Peter today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, excuse me, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you will have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with him. With joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Lord, I thank you for everybody who's here, listening at home. I thank you for today, Lord God, that you would move powerfully, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God, every heart here, those in relationship with you, and those that are questioning, and even those that might have doubts, Lord. Let us be open to your words today and to allow your spirit to touch us. Jesus, you said, he who has ears to hear, let him listen. Well, if we're in the room here, we can probably hear. But let us listen to your words and let us soak them in, Lord. In your name, amen. Now, one thing I know about Easter, it's about clothes. You know, I see some of you being, now if I can't, and if you were to school the other day, I referenced this, so give me grace. So if I came today, and I have noticed one thing in the last year, life has gotten a lot more casual. But if I came this morning, and I kicked these bad boys off, and I put on my really comfortable slippers, and then I said, you know what, I really hate wearing dress clothes. So I'm going to rock my Syracuse PJs, okay? And then, because I really want to be comfortable, I'm going to put on my bathrobe. So if I came up here and I was dressed like this, okay? She would say to me, you are dressed wrong. You know what? Heaven is about clothes. It ain't about wearing the right sneaks. You got to wear the right clothes to get into heaven. Look at Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast, where the invited guests say no. So he goes into the highway and the byway and then just picks people off the street. And at the end, he goes, guys, they're dressed with the wrong clothes. What does he do? He kicks him out. To get to heaven, you got to wear the right clothes. It's the garment of white purity that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't dress right without Jesus Christ. You look at the cross, it's empty because Jesus paid for my sins and he paid for your sins. And when I said yes to him, I am pure. My clothes are white in the eyes of God, whiter than any bleach could possibly get it. That's what Easter is. Easter is saying, yes, God, it's not about me, it's about you. You know, I had a chance, I talking to some friends recently, and I was sharing my faith, and they said, I'm just not religious. And they think I'm an idiot. I say, that's great, because I'm not either. Religion is man's attempt to get right with God. Relationship with Jesus Christ is him getting right with us when we say yes to him. It's his work. You know, last weekend I was visiting my daughter, we were, and her husband in Maryland. So it's Tuesday and I'm getting ready to get in the car and go home, and I get a news update on my phone. It goes, you know, the Francis Scott Key 695 collapsed. I've been on that bridge. I watched the film and it crushed me. They had 90 seconds to stop traffic. They couldn't get all the construction workers, and it just saddened me how fleeting life is. We don't know, any one of us, and I'm not trying to scare tactics, if we're going to lay our heads on the pillow tonight. We have to decide today, yes for Jesus. And some of you have been believers for years, God's saying, it's time to get real. It's time to get real. You know, horrible incidents, they happen. You know, Easter is a marvelous time of year. You know, we babysat my other daughter, and her husband went and took their small child to hang out in Rochester this weekend because they're going to have a baby and they wanted one special weekend with my grandson. So we watched the dog, and my daughter, she did what is good at Easter. She brought me chocolate. I had a sandwich bag of chocolate. Now, I'm different from my daughter. I went to her apartment once, and she had a cabinet full of Easter candy. She hadn't touched it yet. It was October! I knew she must have been adopted somehow. So she came yesterday to pick the dog up and said, oh, your bag's gone. I said, girl, this bag was gone before you made it to Walcott. So there's fun things to do with Easter. But I got to admit, you know, I wake up before dawn today. I'm driving here and I'm saying, Lord, there's people walking in the street and they're just having, they need Jesus. They don't know what they're missing. We have the King of Kings. And Peter writes about the mercy of God, of his living hope. And what I want to talk about today is we need to embrace the living hope of Jesus. Easter is about hope. Easter is about the fact that I know what I'm doing in 1 million years. I am hanging out with Jesus. I know what I'm doing in 5 million years. I'm hanging out with Jesus in heaven. And you know, Peter does talk about the fact that we're going to go through trials. You know, I'm sorry. God protects us, but he protects us eternally. You know, and my first point, while there's hope, while there's life, there's hope. This is an old Roman saying. They used to say back in that day, if there's life, there's hope. I like to say, where there's Christ, there's hope. Peter, in this letter, you have to understand, Nero was lighting Christians alive to light his garden at night. Life wasn't easy as a Christian. It's not like in Oswego where if we share our faith, somebody may call us names. They're not going to hitch us to a pole and light us on fire. So Peter is talking to some people really going through it, and what he's saying is, be hopeful. I don't know if you've heard about it, but a week from tomorrow, there's a big event going on. the solar eclipse. Has anybody maybe heard a smidge about it? I worship the guy who created that. I worship the one who made everything. That's what Easter is. That God cared so much for you and so much for me that he made a way. I love what I said to open this. It is finished. There's nothing else you have to do. You know, the Old Testament points to a Savior. The New Testament brings him. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. History shows Jesus was real. History shows he was crucified. You know, this is one thing I like about Easter, and I'm not going to dwell here because I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and man, I haven't been all that successful at it. It talks about after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he may take the body. It fulfills Isaiah 53. He will be buried in a rich man's tomb. So, you know, so that when you know, people look at all that. So Joseph's a secret, quiet disciple. He wasn't Peter, but he stepped up to the plate. So his friends go to Joseph and say, "Dude, you're giving up your tomb." He goes, "It's just for the weekend." It's the first Airbnb ever recorded in humankind. The curtain was ripped. We have a way to God. I ain't praying to God in anybody else's name. I ain't going in no saint's name. I am going in the name of Jesus Christ. Some people say to me, "Well, sometimes when you end your prayer, you don't say in Jesus' name, amen." I don't have to. I have Jesus, and when I pray, I'm praying in Jesus' name. God understands it. Now, I still do it because I don't want to offend anybody, and if I'm stepping on toes, look at your Bible. I have Jesus in me. I have me. And you, today, guys, come on, man, let's do it. Jesus opened up the opportunity. Get rid of religion. Get rid of the Pharisees. Get rid of, you got to do this right. You know what I like about, I talk about fashion. 25 years ago, you had to come to church. We had to wear a tie. Now, we have some people that wore ties today, but, you know, God forgives them. I think that's awesome. You know, we have fashion today. You wear shorts in the winter. You wear hats for winter in the summer. I watch ESPN, my guy's on TV with a suit with a pair of white sneakers on. Why wasn't that available 25 years ago when we have to go to church? So I'm talking today about put on the right clothes, the clothes of Christ. And Jesus gives us a new life. You know, we all chase stuff. Jesus is saying this to you right now. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I don't know, we all get afraid. We all get anxious when hard times hit. But Jesus is saying, when you walk with me, when you surrender your life to me and ask me into your life, I will give you a peace through the storms. He's not going to take the storms away, but he's going to give us a way to navigate them so our peace won't be stolen. We have reason to rejoice. You know, Peter mentions many reasons we need to rejoice. We have a born-again experience. And I've realized a long time ago, somebody goes, "I'm a Christian, but not a born-again Christian." That's impossible. How dare you say that? I didn't. Jesus did. Nicodemus, to get to heaven, you got to be born again. You got to be born from above. You got to say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I'm yours. We need to rejoice because we have a new life of hope. Jesus defeated death. He rose from the grave. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We have an unshakable inheritance. Look at the disciples. One of them had a normal death. One, John, was boiled in oil and lived. Peter was crucified upside down because he wasn't deemed himself to be. He shouldn't die the same way Christ did. So bad things happen, but you can't steal my heaven. You can put a bullet in my head. You can't steal heaven. We have God's protection, which means my eternal security can't be taken. We get strengthened, Peter tells us, through our trials because we see how faithful God is. Trials really suck. I get that. But it's an opportunity for us to see how faithful God is, and we have salvation through faith. You know, the Irish rock band on the album Joshua Tree, U2, they have a song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The only place you will find what you are looking for is in Jesus Christ. You can have joy, you can have hope, you can have peace, it won't last. You can try other religions, and I'm not here like to bash when I mentioned Islam earlier or any other religion, but what I'm going to tell you is they are false, the Bible tells us. The only way for us to have peace is to keep my eyes and my life on Jesus Christ. When my daughter was in the hospital dying, praise God, she got healed. Even the doctor said it was God. We had a peace, though our world was shaken. And some of you have been through terrible things, but you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ through the ups and the downs, and your peace won't be stolen. I have found what I'm looking for. On August 14th, 1979, when I asked Jesus Christ into my life, and I had a peace all of a sudden where I knew I was okay. Easter is a time for family. It's a time for tradition. But it's a time to recognize and appreciate what God did for you. Oh, and I get it. You're coming to church. I was kidding around with pastors at pastor's prayer this week, and I said, it's not like we have a choice on what to preach on today. If I came in and said, I'm going to be preaching on tithing, you would probably exit stage right. So, and again, and I'm not going to come here and try to give you a new and improved version or to awe you, but you need Jesus. And this isn't religious. And maybe you're letting my words just go by you because you're here for a friend. You know, our dear friend up north, Patty, she met well. They'd go to the hotel in Copenhagen for lunch on Easter. She had a humongous family. But first you got to go to church. And you know how much fun it is preaching to about 20 people that are kind of looking at their watch and saying, hey, dinner calls. Let's not do that. Jesus Christ is knocking on your door today. Not tomorrow. Maybe not just before you take your final breath. But God is saying right now to you today, what are you going to do with my son? Are you just going to listen to him and accept him? Or are you going to bypass him? Verse 5 in 1 Peter says, 1, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to reveal in the last time. This word guarded means it's shielded. We are being kept by God, and I look forward to the day when I die and I go to heaven to be with my Lord forever. No more sorrow, no more hearing aids, no more bad hip, no more frozen shoulder. I'm just going to have Jesus. There's an old saying, there's two things in life we can be sure of, death and taxes. Well, guess what? The one thing I'm sure of is my salvation because I got eternity with Jesus Christ. Like I said, I didn't go to church growing up. But But once I found God, I remember Easter 1980, the first one after I'd committed my life to God. It was a special day. Went to an old Methodist church, sang a bunch of old songs, had, you know, they used to put the numbers up on the board. It was a small church in Peterborough, about 25 people. We had a good time, though, because I had Jesus, man. It wasn't just this religious thing that we did. For Christ also suffered once for sin. Wouldn't you rather that he suffered for your sins than you? Because if you suffer for your sins, if you die without Christ, you're going to hell forever. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Easter's offer. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a faith issue. It's a control issue. It took me a while. When I was in high school and I had some people I knew that were born again, I thought they were nuts. I wanted to be in control. You know why you struggle with God sometimes? Because you do too. You want to be in control. You want to dictate where you live, what you do for a living, who you marry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we got to live God's way. His way is perfect. Easter is all about John 3:16. For he so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And believe doesn't mean just, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I'm good. No. Believe means you repent, which is, God, forgive me. I used to live that way. Now I'm going to live for you. And you say, Christ, come into my heart. You know, when we celebrate Easter and the resurrection, we celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise to humanity from a fate far worse than ceasing to exist. I got a friend of mine. I share God with him for 40-some years now. Well, when I die, I become worm food. Your body might, but your soul doesn't. So I share with him, and I'm praying for that loving knucklehead all these years, man. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. How cool was worship today, focusing on what Jesus Christ did? How cool was it to be together and to worship what God did? That, you know what? I got Jesus. That's what Easter is. It isn't just religion. It's God saying, I want you with me. I read something. I'm going to butcher it. Who cares? Think how important your soul is. Satan attacks it. Christ died for it. Tell me you're not important. If you're sitting here and you, well, I don't believe in all this, then you open your heart and say, Jesus, I'm throwing it down. You show me you're real. And if you're open, I guarantee you 100% he will. Because of the devil, one of the biggest lies he said is, man, God doesn't exist. How did you get here? Big bang? Big bang my butt. Come on. You don't get something from nothing. Where did life begin? Big bang. Where did life begin? Not in the big bang. If I throw that down, how come a TV doesn't appear? How come a dog doesn't appear? That was a big bang. You close-minded creationist. Yeah, because I worship the God that made it all. You can't get something from nothing. You think I came from a little amoeba? Who created that? You don't get some. Science tells us evolution's a crock. But we drink the Kool-Aid of society. And we say it's true. Before I was a Christian, I took biology. Love biology. Shirley Crawford, Morso College. Remember talking to her. She goes, I see so much science. Gotta believe in Jesus, because man can't do what took place. And that kind of helped pave the way for me. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Would you all close your eyes? In Revelation 3:20, I probably share this verse every other week or more. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Please understand, yes, I am speaking, but Jesus Christ is knocking on the door to your heart right now. He may be, I'm his messenger, but the living God is saying, "I want you." You acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God. You acknowledge he died for your sins. Then we acknowledge, "God, I am a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But that's not the end of the gospel. Then you have to repent. The whole ministry of John the Baptist, you need to repent, which you have to make a 180-degree turn. On August 13th, 1979, I was heading in the direction of Dick Beaumont. On the 14th, when I gave my life to Christ, I turned around and I headed in the direction of Jesus Christ, living as best I could according to the Bible. I said, "Lord, I need you in my life." So as I close in prayer, I want to ask you to do that. If you're not ready, I want you to challenge God. We're going to close in another song, then Bill's going to end us in prayer. But I want you today to get right with God. And I'm going to tell you, Christians, I'm talking to you. God is saying, it's time for you to embrace me fully. I don't want to just be the one who rescued you from death and hell. I want to be your leader. I want to be your Lord in every area of your life. That is where the peace comes from. Sometimes we don't have that peace because we shut the door in certain areas of our life to Christ. He's standing at the door and knocking. Lord, help us open that door to you today. In your name we pray, amen. We're going to sing one more song, then William will close us in prayer.
Actually, you know what, guys? I'm going to ask you to have a seat because it's going to be a little different. I'm going to tell you a story. How many like stories? And this is a story as told and seen through the eyes of the Apostle Peter. So check it out, and these guys will join me at the end. Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. Gate began to rattle, voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran towards the garden, and John ran on ahead. found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. 'Cause everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I clung to him on my knees and clung to him and cried. Well, he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive. So worthy to be praised.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Because you live, Lord. Because you live, we live.
Amen.
And like the hymn says, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for such a sacrifice you gave. And thank you, Father, for raising him to life again. We are in him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, as Pastor said, born again. Born from above, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. Let your blessing be upon your people, all the families represented here, those that can't be here watching or for some reason are away. Lord, bless your people and remind us today of this fact, that he is alive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.